cry,
holy,
hallelujah.
Holy,
Father, we worship and we honor you again.
Every day, it's becoming clearer and clearer to us who you truly are. Heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool. There is none, not even remotely, Lord, that can compare with you. Not even remotely. You made all things, and indeed you did them well. As we go into your word now, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I ask that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are present here physically, and those who will be hearing me remotely electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual lives, agreed with me individually and said, I have a very important strategic present truth prophetic message I'm going to share with us this afternoon, and I've entitled it Sowing and Reaping Prayers. This is a truth that needs to become clearer to us as Christians, particularly for a reason, because we are looking to God for the outpouring of the Spirit without measure. Back in the year 2008, I shared a message on understanding the Spirit without measure and how it is generated. And here we are 13 years later. The time for the implementation of that revelation is upon us. And that's why I call it a present truth prophetic message. In other words, it is something that is presently being fulfilled, and then of course more of it will also be fulfilled in the future. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, firstly to the epistle of Paul to the Galatians in chapter 6. Very familiar scripture, or should be. Paul is talking, and he's talking, if you keep it in its context, he's talking financially. And everything I'm going to say has a financial application. And I've dealt with that in the last few weeks. I talked about the Shemitah year of release. And I think it was last week, you know, I also talked about trusting God for finances. But today, the same principles, but the emphasis is now going to be on prayer. And I dare say that it is an understanding that majority of us do not have yet. When you have it and you get it, nobody will beg you to pray. And you will not pray the way you are praying now. The fervency and the efficacy of your prayers will step up. Because, turn to your neighbor and say, God needs you now. See, people don't understand. People just think God just does things. He doesn't. There's nothing he does on the earth that he does independent of man. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. When he made Adam and Eve, he gave the earth to them. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He said, let them have dominion. And that has not changed. When man fell, sadly and regrettably, Satan, Lucifer, took over the control of the earth via man's fallen spirit. And that is why the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. In the book of, I'm not going to go there, I'll just mention it, hit and running. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 28, he called him the anointed cherub that covereth. Satan gets his authority and power from men. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The way he controls what is going on the earth and men is through men. Without man, he can't do anything. But sadly, you know, majority of men are under his control. They don't even know it. It's remote control. The book of 1 John says that the whole world, let me quickly run there. Now, that one is important. It's a scripture that many Christians are not familiar with. It's in 1 John, I think it's chapter 5. I can't remember the exact verse now. I think it's 9. It says the whole world lieth in the embrace of the wicked one. Where is it now? It's chapter 5, 1 John. Beg pardon? 7. 5:19. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Williams. Yes. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. If you look at some of the translations, you know, the New International Version says, we know we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the weak, of the evil one. The Amplified Bible says, you know, we know positively that we are of God and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. God's Word says, you know, there's a translation called God's Word. Says we know we are from God and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Clear. But God wants to change that control. That's why Jesus had to come. Jesus was the only person who was born without a human father. The egg in Mary's womb. Mary was the first surrogate mother. What God did was he used the supernatural power through intercession, the intercession of Anna and Simeon, and caused the egg in Mary's womb to be fertilized by the power of God's word. That's why he's called the Son of God, the divine sperm. And it fertilized that so that the fetus that was formed in Mary's womb was sinless. Because it did not have the human father and the human sin nature inside it. That's why Jesus called the Son of God. Not in the sense that, you know, silly people say, you know, how can God have a wife? God doesn't have any wife. Those are just titles. It was God using his power to fertilize the egg in Mary's womb and then put that fertilized egg inside her womb that became the dwelling place, and the Word became flesh. And then God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was injected. This is the first IVF, spiritually now, was injected into that womb, living in heaven, his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, which he had had from eternity. He left it all in heaven under the care of the other two persons of the Godhead. And then just came, just like a normal human being like us, entered that womb. The womb grew, you know, the fetus grew for 9 months, was born just like you and I. Why does God go to the trouble of doing such things? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did he, what stopped God from just sending Jesus as a full-grown man, just put him on a Mount Zion somewhere, and everybody would just see him and just start doing miracles? He could have done that, but it would not be legal. See, one thing, and this is the thing about prayer we have to understand, God does things legally. That is why you and I have to pray. God has the power to do anything, but he doesn't do, that. The Bible says, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth, Psalm 115 verse 16, he has given to the sons of men. That's why you and I have to pray. God's power on the earth, watch this, it will blow your religious mind, but it is the truth. God's power on the earth is limited to the prayer life of his people. I didn't hear any amen. Whether you say amen or not, it doesn't change it, because it's the truth. Scripture? I gave you plenty. I just gave you one from Psalm 115. I'll give you another one. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or think, according to the power that works in God. That's the limitation. That's the limitation. According to the power that works in us. Us there now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, you know, is a collective, not just in me, in us, plural. The collective prayer life of the church determines, watch this, it will determine the measure of the power of God that is being released into the earth, that will now overcome the control of the evil one. So if you're seeing a lot of bad things on the earth, it's because the church is not praying enough. I didn't say we're not praying. I said we're not praying enough. Don't your neighbor say, we're praying, but we're not praying enough. And we have to step it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have to step it up. I have to step it up. Hence this prophetic message. Now, here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says that, but be not deceived, for God is not mocked, you know. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is also true about prayer. God opened my eyes to these truths many years ago when I first got born again. But the understanding I have now by the grace and the mercy of God is much clearer and much more comprehensive. And that is why I have been instructed to come and share it with the church. Not just scripture pastor, but the whole church. Because if you understand what I'm about to share with you, you will stop playing games with prayer. And you will do what I said in the Bible study. Every part plays its share. One of the reasons why we're not seeing the power of God, and it's been delayed to some degree, or seems to be delayed to some degree, I use the word seems because in my understanding of the times, which I said in the Bible studies, years and the seasons. See, in God's mind, God looks, he deals with nations, he deals with the church in years and seasons. In God's economy, there are three seasons in every year. There's a season of Passover, there's a season of Pentecost, and there's a season of Tabernacles. We just finished now the season of Tabernacles of this 2022. We're now in the transition between
Passover, sorry, between Tabernacles and Passover. Passover is going to be another 6 months. Well, approximately 6 months now. You know, slightly less than 6 months. Before we enter another season of Passover, then we go into Pentecost again. Every year is like that. There's a cycle. And watch this, that many Christians don't understand. God does things in times and seasons. The Hebrew word is moed, which means appointed times. Other people will call it a kairos moment. There are two types of time. There's chronological time, which is chronos. That's where we get the word chronological from. In Greek, it's chronos, which is, you know, chronological time, 2020, 2021, 2022, and so on and so forth. You know, then there is a kairos time, which is a time where there is a purpose of God that is to be fulfilled in that time frame. Now, what you have is an interjection, you have an intersection, the better word, of chronos and kairos. Every year, God will go and He will begin to inspire His people, hence this message. He'll begin to, you know, stir us up. Pray, 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 pray. And then He gathers the prayers. We're going to see more of that in a minute. And He combines them together exponentially with His own power. But you see, He cannot do it independent of man. Otherwise, it will be illegal. So He has to work with what men give Him. It is what they give Him that He can now put together, you know, and combine exponentially to be able to release in the earth to do what He wants to do. I've shared this before, particularly in recent times, and I want to mention it now as an inspiration to you and I so that you don't even get discouraged. You know, because sometimes, you know, our expectations are very high. Maybe. But it doesn't happen maybe the time we think it should happen. And the answer is always that we need to pray more. The Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. And the inspiration is from Anna and Simeon. Do you know Anna was interceding for 60 years? Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, 60 years is not 10 weeks. It's not 10 years. I want you to understand, there's a reason why those things are recorded in the Bible. It's to instruct us for our instruction and for our inspiration. Most people will give up after 5 years or 10 years, maybe even 20 or 30, and say, well, I've been praying all this time. It's not going to happen. She got married. In those days, they used to get married early in their late teens. Maybe she was about 17. She got married. Her husband died. What could be more discouraging to a young girl as that? She was 24 when her husband died. 24-year-old girl is still very, very fresh. She could have married somebody else. She could have, you know, gone on with her life. But God revealed something to this woman. That you are, watch this, you are in the season of the birth of the Messiah. You see, everybody on earth, that's why you need prophetic ministries like my own and others, and my wife's and others. Prophets have true prophets, because they are false ones. True prophets have understanding of the times. A better rendering for that in our modern day would be they have understanding of the years. Like Daniel, they understood from the books the number of years. True prophets have understanding of the years and the seasons and their intersections for what God ought to do. And then they now tell the church, which is what I'm doing now, what they ought to do. And I'm telling you now, the basic agenda now is prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, the most important thing now is prayer. I am not going anywhere without prayer. Forget the rapture next week. Do I believe in the rapture? Yes, I do. You're not coming back. Yet. He's coming back. He can't. The Bible says, whom the heavens must retain. Give me a clap offering, somebody. Thank you, brother Ibrahim. Until the restitution of all things. Don't your neighbor say, have all things been restituted? The answer is no. So the heavens will still retain him. He can't come. He cannot come yet. He's coming. But he can't come yet. What do we mean by the restitution of all things? It means that God must restore to the church all the things that the prophets have spoken about. So we must see a church that has grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We must see a church that is doing the works Jesus did and greater. I'm going to repeat that. We must see a church that will be doing the works that Jesus did and greater. It is not enough to do the works Jesus did. Otherwise, all things have not been restituted. We must see a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Restitution of all things. The Lord said to my Lord, Jehovah said to Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. We have the enemy under our feet to some degree, but he has not become our footstool yet. You know what the Bible says? I preached this years ago, but it's still prophetically relevant. It said, and the last enemy that shall be defeated is death. Death has not yet been put under the footstool of the church. You still see the devil killing us. Go to heaven, no? We must have a restitution of all things. We must have a company of Christians that have put death under their foot. How many people in our day and age? I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to repeat that question. Pastor G, listen to this, honey. Listen to this. How many Christians have you heard in the last 2,000 years, I've got to expand it, that raised somebody from the dead who had been buried for 4 days? How many? In the last 2,000 years? None. Restitution of all things. Jesus, he said, we're not only going to do that, we're going to do greater. So until you start seeing in the newspaper and you start seeing on CNN a company of Christians who are raising not just the dead, but those who have been dead for 1 week, those who have been dead for 2 weeks, then you can begin to look up for your redemption. Draw it now. It means Jesus is coming soon. But until you see that, Jesus is not coming. Because the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things. I don't know if I'm getting across. I use that as a very important example. The last enemy. We have not yet put death under our feet. We must put death under our feet. I didn't hear amen. So, the secret to getting this done is to begin to sow prayers the same way you sow money. We like prosperity message. Now I'm going to give you prayer message. 100-fold return on prayer. By the time I finish this message, I want you to know that the return you get on prayer is far greater than the return you get on finances. In the case of finances, it's 100-fold in this lifetime. In the case of prayer,
You can sow prayers and begin to receive a thousandfold, a hundred thousandfold, a millionfold, a billionfold. Then it begins, that power now, I'm a mathematician, you know, I did physics, so I did a lot of maths. That power now begins to approach what we call without measure. In physics and math, we have what's called infinity. Infinity doesn't mean you cannot measure it. It just means it's so big that compared to what you can measure, it becomes immeasurable. It's not that it doesn't have a figure. It's just that you cannot practically measure it because of its large magnitude. That's what we mean by spirit without measure. It is the power of the spirit without measure that raises the dead who has been dead for 4 days instantly. If you can say amen, say oh me. But the way that power is going to come is by sowing and reaping prayers. The problem we've had is that not enough Christians are motivated and instructed sufficiently to sow prayers diligently like we sow our money. Now let me put what I've written here. Let me read scriptures and then, you know, I'll tell you what I've written here. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke is lovely prosperity message. We like that one. Luke 6 verse 38. As they give, and it shall be given unto you. Bad measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Watch this. For with the same measure you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Now, just like you sow money, if you start sowing prayers like this, when you give prayer, it will be given back to you what? I didn't hear you. Press down means you compress it. Then shaking together and running over, it will not be men, it will be God. He will still do it through men. You're going to see that in a minute. God will give it back to you. But watch this. It is the measure that you sow that will determine the kind of measure that you reap. For God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. The degree, so if you sow Mickey Mouse prayers, and you're not playing your fair share, that's what you're going to reap. But if you sow effectual fervent prayer, then you're going to reap. Thank you, Dr. Brasda Ibrahim. What you sow is going to reap. The quality you sow is the quality you're going to reap. How many people want to reap great measures of effectual fervent prayer? I'm a clap offering. Yeah, sorry, not a clap offering, a wave offering. If you are waving, I know not everybody is waving, but those who are waving, those who want to reap effectual fervent prayer, I want you to look at the other person next to you who is also waving and say, that means you must sow the same. I just trapped you. But I'm not done yet. Look at Malachi chapter 3. And look at, I'm just going to concentrate on verse 10. This is our great scripture on tithing. Bring ye all the tithes, I didn't hear you, into the storehouse, that we meet in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you what? Pastor G, I just got a text. I just got a fax. Honey, listen to this. What happened to Jesus at the baptism of John? The man had been sowing prayer for years. Then harvest day came, the heavens opened. And the Holy Ghost
came upon him like a dove. How many people know that Jesus had the Holy Ghost from when he was a baby? What got him born? He said, the power of the Most High shall come upon thee. All the Catholic people, including my wife, they know this better than anybody else. Hail Mary. The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, you know, will come upon thee. The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, so that that holy thing that will be born in you will be called the Son of God. So, he had the Holy Ghost. But what's the difference between the Holy Ghost he had when he was a baby, and the Holy Ghost he had when he was 12 years old, and the Holy Ghost he had when he was 30 years old and the heavens opened? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. The heavens opened because the man had been tithing and sowing prayers. So when the day of manifestation came, just like the heavens opened for you to get financial return, the heavens will open for you to get multiplied power of prayer. Wow. But you haven't heard anything yet, Pastor G. I got an instruction here. I preached it some years ago. People didn't want to accept it, but the hour is coming, and now is. We cannot run. You know, the thing about truth is that it's constant. The truth will always outlive a lie. Listen to this. Tithe your time and your prayers. Just like you tithe your money. Tithe your time and your prayers. Ultimately, you should be aiming for 2.5 to 3 hours a day. I said ultimately. Not everybody can start there. Even if it's 15 minutes you have, start with that one. Then after a while, it will increase. I thank God for good morning, Jesus, that God used my wife to start. Honey, you may not know what God has done through or is doing through you. You know, some of us in the prophetic realm, we're seeing all kinds of things. Do you know? I'm just going to throw this out. This free of charge. If you can receive it, receive it. If you can't receive it, chew on it. It was 2018, wasn't it? It was 2018, wasn't it? How many years are we now from 2018? 3! What is 3? Isn't that God's number of perfection? But go and look at the parable. The parable says, I have come to this fig tree, these 3 years. I'm giving you present truth, prophetic revelation. I've come this day and I have not found fruit. He said, cut it down. I said, oh God, please. Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit is a good friend. Touch your neighbor. Say, Holy Spirit is a good friend. See, there are some of us, not all of us. Some people have brought some from fruit. You know, there are 3 kinds of fruit. There is no fruit. There is little fruit. Then there is much fruit. God wants much fruit. This tree, it's been taught, it's been. So the Holy Spirit said, please, please, please. Give me 1 more year. Everyone say 1 more year. Say, then touch your neighbor and say, this 1 more year, stop playing games. Pray properly. Say, are we dung it around? And if it brings forth fruit, fine. And if it doesn't, it will not be your portion in Jesus' name. I thank God that God used my wife to start Good Morning Jesus. It's a platform to train you. It is no, you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Mommy Sarah. You're doing it for you. So that by the time you do 1 hour, you learn, you begin to practice it every day. Your mind, the Bible says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised.
your body will change, your mind will change. You will find that you begin to discipline yourself. You begin to put away, the carnal and the ordinary thing. It doesn't mean you don't enjoy nice things, but that's no longer. If you want to get up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, then it means you have to go to bed early. So the only thing that's going to suffer is television. I didn't hear amen. I didn't say you won't watch it at all. But when you are watching 3 hours before, you start watching now 15 minutes. I didn't hear amen. The only amen I heard was Pastor Boygazo. Are you listening to me? The time, yes. Anything that's going to suffer, WhatsApp will suffer. Facebook will suffer. Everybody, I must say, be saying it along with me. Everybody be saying it. Say television will suffer. Let's change that to Bible language. Television will be crucified. Facebook will be crucified. WhatsApp will be crucified. So that I can sow prayers. Give the Lord a clap offering. I'm giving instruction from heaven. This 1 year that is coming now. We're now looking at Tabernacles 2022. Tabernacles 2021 has gone. We're now looking at that. You need to back up. Prioritize your prayer life. Put the things of the Spirit top priority. I just got another tweet, Professor. He says, if we suffer with him, he said, we will also reign with him. Honey, do you know what the Holy Ghost just said? He said, for the sufferings of this present time, I'm telling you, the Facebook, the WhatsApp, the television is not worth it. Cannot be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed in you. Crucified willingly and cheerfully. It's not worth it. I didn't hear amen. I'm only hearing amen from mommy and Pastor Wega and all the pastors. No, what's wrong with all of you here? Pastor Andrew, what's wrong with the choir? Don't let me start on you. And the instrumentalists. Are you be hearing amen from all of you? When you are preaching and people are not saying amen, something is happening. What's happening is that instead of amen, you say, oh me. You need to change that. So, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that they may meet in my house and prove me now here with Ezra, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. This is a principle that not only works financially, it also works in prayer. Now, the purpose of sowing and reaping prayers, watch this, is to generate, as a generate, and store. Hey! Prayers for all saints, I'm going to explain that in a minute, and the coming outpouring of the Spirit without measure. Look at, we're going to use Anna and Simeon again as a type. The Bible says she was serving God with fasting and prayer 60 years. In those 60 years, God was answering her prayers. Maybe she needed food, she needed this, she needed that, and God would bless her. But the bulk of the prayer was not used in those 60 years. It was stored. Waiting, watch this, darling, for a suddenly. Waiting for a kairos moment, when the kairos purpose of God would intersect with the chronos, and at that point in time, all the prayer that had been stored will be poured out all at once, boom, suddenly. And suddenly, one fine evening, an angel flies from heaven. His name is Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God to a young, nice virgin girl whose name is Mary in an obscure town. Ah, God is great. When he has a purpose, nothing can stop it. called Nazareth, so obscure, people said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Like they are saying now, can any good thing come out of Nigeria? Oh, they're in for a shock. I did not write the Bible. But the prophets, before I was born, before you were born, he put inside the Bible, the nation from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that the rivers divide. And it now, the scripture now describes the characteristics of the people of that nation by prayer. The suppliants. Turn to your neighbor and say, high suppliant, high intercessor from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Glory be to God. Give him another clap offering. Just like Anna. So a lot of the prayer, people say, oh, Anna, all this prayer, we can't see anything you are doing. It's being stored in the heavenlies. Then when the day came, there was a suddenly. Gabriel comes in and says, Hail Mary, full of grace. We have a lot of Marys here. You don't know, my wife's Catholic, baptismal name is Marianne. Then behind her, yeah, me see her own name too. They're all Catholics. God have mercy on them. You know, but seriously, you know, and said, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be called the Son of God. Within a short time, she conceives. God works on Joseph. Joseph brings him into the camp. He cooperates. She goes to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth too has conceived John the Baptist. And the plan begins to unfold. All those years, when Jesus was a baby, when he was in Nazareth, it was the intercession that was stored. That, watch this, Pastor G, that was being poured out day by day, little by little, for the purpose to be fulfilled. God is not going to do anything carelessly. So turn to your neighbor and say, all the prayers we've been praying all these days, they are not wasted. They are being stored. But it must reach a particular threshold level. And when he begins to pour it out, men will say, we have never seen it in this fashion. So be encouraged. And don't stop praying. Are you listening to me? Now, everybody, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. We're going to look at two scriptures in Revelation, or three. I want to show you something here. And I'm not going to read it as it was given to me. You know, we read things in the Bible and we just gloss over them. You know, it takes revelation and the Holy Spirit to enlighten your understanding so you can have an insight into what God is saying. Now, this thing that we're going to read is actually literally happening in heaven up till now as I'm talking. John was given a preview. He was given an insight into it. But it wasn't something that just happened on that day. It's something that's it's a constant thing. Now, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 20 elders fell before the Lamb. This is after the resurrection. Having every one of them, say every one of them, harps. Turn to anybody, say that means worship. Musical instrument, harps, guitar. And golden vials. I'm going to read this out of the New King James, you know. And golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers. I'm going to say something now. It's not the correct thing, but I'm going to get your attention. Which were the prayers of all saints? That's not there. Prayers of the saints. Why? Pastor G, Listen to this. Amen. You have three kinds of saints in this prayer context. Are you following? And I'm going to explain it as I go on now. You have generating saints. You have contributing saints. And then you have saints that don't contribute anything at all. You have consuming. Thank you, honey. Lola, the economist. They don't produce anything. But one consume budget. What can consume? It's, Lola, they thank you. Perfect. Consuming saints. These saints who are elders that are sitting on the throne with God are generating saints. God takes the prayers of the contributing saints and puts it inside the power of their prayers. He puts it inside a golden bowl that is connected to a generating saint. Then the prayers of the contributing saints and the prayer of the generating saints are now combined together by the Holy Ghost exponentially to amplify them. Say, Pastor, where did you get all that from? Follow me in your Bible, if you can, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 4. See, notice the people there are elders. They will say elders. These are mature saints. The Bible speaks of them in the book of Hebrews, talking about the church and calling the church Mount Zion. The spirits of just men made what? Perfect. You know, people often think, oh, well, these are people who have died and gone to heaven. Well, there's that. But there are saints on the earth that are here on earth right now that are seated in heavenly places. Doesn't the Bible say so? Doesn't the Bible say so? He wasn't talking about just people who have died and gone to heaven. He's also talking about saints who are here. And we have an example in Paul. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't hear you. When you are gathered together, that's all those contributing saints. You gather all their prayers in the golden bowl that is attached to Paul's spirit. Along with my spirit, with the what? Power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a generating saint. The other guys were contributing. You have to reach a certain level of maturity. Honey, watch this. And spiritual capacity to become a generating saint. Not everybody is a generating saint. But don't worry about that. So long as you're a contributing saint, you're on the way. When you reach a particular level, you will now become a generating saint. Not everybody is a generating saint at first. You have to grow into it. The Bible says, that has enlarged my heart. The capacity of your spirit will increase as you pray. Now, watch this. Now, before I jump there, let me talk about the amplification of the prayers. These are great, deep spiritual truths. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8. Yes. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I went to the wrong place. Leviticus is such a good book. When you understand types and shadows. When you don't understand, you just think the guy is just talking about about killing animals. He's talking about prayer in a coded form. Now, watch this. It says, and five of you shall chase 100. Honey, we want to do a little bit of mathematics here. It's very simple. That's why God put it in the Bible. You know, God puts simple things inside the Bible so that the average person can understand. If five chase 100, how many does one chase? 20. So these are capacities of tens. Hello? Brother Ibrahim, are you with me? Pastor Wally, are you with me? All right. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So how many will one put to flight? 100. Thank you. So you see in these two categories, two sets of contributing saints. There are those whose capacity is over tens, and you have those whose capacities are over hundreds. We're going somewhere. You know what I'm doing? When I was preparing this, the Holy Spirit said I should say this, and I'm about to say it now. He said, when you say, because when I begin to talk to you, like, it's all mathematics. It's not mathematics. It is mathematics, but it's spiritual truth. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, go and tell my people that when they read their Bibles, they should not leave their brain at home. That's what people do. And I said, God, give me scripture. He said, Proverbs chapter 2, verse chapter 3. He said, apply thy heart to wisdom. You just read it. Why is he giving us specific figures? It's so we can have faith. And we can understand what is happening. And then, watch this. I've said this many times over the years. Intelligently cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it's superfluous. All he could have, if my wife is a PhD in English, you know, all he could have just said is that, you know, five of you will chase many of them away. Or just a few of you will overcome a whole army. He didn't have to give us specific figures. He gave it to us for a reason. Through the comfort and the patience of the scriptures, that you might have hope. By the time I finish, by the grace and the mercy of God, you will be highly motivated to pray. And you will stop this playing church. Because we have another year now. He told me to tell you another thing. He said, I could have, using a few extra people, brought the glory. He said, but too many people would die. If some things had happened, a lot of people would have been cut off. The Bible says that because God loves us, he said, the Lord is not slack as concerning his promise. He said, but he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. So if we can get a few more in, then the casualty rate will drop. That's why he does what he does. He is not slack. And he's coming. The glory is coming. Tell your neighbor, say, the glory is coming. Be ready for it. Oh, glory to God. I'll soon be done. This is more important than the rice and the dodo. You're going to go and eat home. Trust me. Trust me. Now, let's now go. Now, I'm not done yet. So, this is Leviticus 26, verse 8. Now, go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. How shall one chase 1,000 and two put what? Can you see that the capacity of this one now is more than the capacity of the other guys who are chasing 20, 500, you know, 100, 10,000? Pastor Boyga, is it not amazing the mathematical precision of the Bible where it tells us that there are captains over tens, captains over hundreds and captains over thousands. Look at the one-to-one correspondence. So, now, let's say Paul. I'm going to use Paul now. You know, he said I will use myself and Peter and Cephas as examples. So I'm going to do that. I could have used people today, but I don't want to do that. Let's just use Paul. Imagine Paul, who is a captain over thousands. And he has 1,000 in Corinth, in Philippi. He has 1,000 contributing saints that are working with him spiritually. What we read today in Romans 15. Strive together. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get more contributing saints. Strive with me together for, you know, in the spirit. So he has 1,000. And for simplicity, I could make it much more complex because I'm mathematical, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make it very simple. And he had 1,000 saints who are contributing. Each of them, the capacity is only 10. We know with some people of 20, we see 100. Let's leave 20 and 100 alone because, you know, it'll make it more, I just make it very, very easy. I have 1,000 saints who are contributing measures of 10, 10, 10, 10. If you take those 1,000 of them and you take 100 of each of them, a group of them who are 100, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, you get 1,000. So in that 1,000, you will get 10 sets of people that have a capacity of 1,000. Now, he has now said here that one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So if you bunch all those 1,000 together in groups of 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, with their little capacity, they are going to give you a factor of 10 billion. It will be 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 up to 10 places. 10 to 9 places is a billion. 10 to 10 places is 10 billion. So when Paul and all those brethren, they all pray together, the power that is going to be magnified is going to be over a billion. And I begin to understand spirit without measure. Then watch what they do. Revelation chapter 8. Stay with me here, God. Stay with me. Don't your neighbor say, we are applying our hearts to wisdom. We're not reading the Bible without our brain. And another angel, in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3, 4, and 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Again, if you look at the New King James, let me use that, you know. And came and stood at the altar, and he was given much. Everybody say, shout it. Do you notice that the incense here is called much? The other one in the other place was not called much. Something had happened. So when you read your Bible, you have to read it very carefully. Much! Why is it much now? It's been amplified. That he should offer it with the prayers of not some saints, of what? Turn to your neighbor and say, God is so good. He gives power even to those who only consume and don't contribute. Give him another clap offering. It's God's character. He allows the rain to go, the sun to shine. That's God's character. Everybody benefits, but it's not everybody that contributed. It's not everybody that is a generating saint or a contributing saint. Now, watch this. This will amaze you. You know, the Holy Ghost was the one who asked me this question. He said, then another angel, read with me again. I know we've read it before, but I want to make another point. The first point I made was the point much. I want to make another point now. Came and stood at the altar, and he, touch your neighbor, say he who? Say he, the angel, was given what? Shout it again. Ask your neighbor, who gave him? The generating saint that was praying, watch this, with tongues of men and of. He now, through the prayer in the spirit, he now takes that amplified prayer and then he shifts it to that angel. What does the angel do with that much incense? He offers it with the prayer of what? Even the saint that does it, that is lazy, that just says, oh God, please help me. Something comes. With all, for all saints, upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with what? Or incense. From the earth and threw it where? That's where the answers are needed. So you see the intercession that is taking place in the spirit, in the heavens at the right hand of God. He ever liveth to make intercession. Notice how did that prayer get amplified? He said, when you are gathered and my spirit with the what? Power. You see, it's not Paul's power. It was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that amplification is not done by Paul. It's done by the power of the Holy Spirit inside the spirit of the generating saint. It's God who is doing it. But without the saints, God cannot do it so as to bring it into the earth to be legal. So he needs you and I. We're coming to a close. Now, one or two other scriptures I just want to mention as we begin to close. And it is this. Observe the word Paul used. And I shared this the other day when I was talking about, you know, prayers. But this one is about sowing and reaping. He said, when you are gathered. Everybody say gathered. I didn't hear you. Say it again. Say it again. I'm trying to make a point. Say it again. Gathered. Everybody say gathered. Matthew 18:20. When two or three are. What? So you know what happens in the realm of the spirit? Mommy Sarah is praying in tongues. Pastor Boyga is praying in tongues. Dr. William is praying in tongues. Professor Olokpade is praying in tongues. You know what the Holy Ghost does? He goes and gather. Then, depending on their individual capacities, he now combines them, depending on their capacity, exponentially, and then goes and dumps it inside the bowl of a generating saint. With all that magnification, with all that amplification, that one speaks in tongues of men and of angels, transfers it to an angel, the angel now puts into the earth, and everybody benefits. All saints. But watch this. We're closing now. Well, getting close to it. The needs of people are different. And what you sow, you will reap. So, the saint that didn't contribute anything, God will allow him to be blessed. But there's a limit. The one that contributed more. So imagine a situation where you have 10 billion. Everybody say 10 billion. Turn to your neighbor and say, many people don't know what 10 billion is. Except the guys in Abuja, but let's go there. I'm not going to go there this afternoon. Are you listening to me? You know, 10 billion. A billion is 1,000 million. 10 billion is 10. So imagine this guy, he's on his 10. This person is, okay, let's bless him. Let's give him 10 times what he... The guy who didn't put anything out, let's just give him 100. Give him 100, free of charge. So this other guy, oh, he does, give him 10,000. This other one is 100,000. Hey, when you have 10 billion, all that is chicken feet. It's nothing. It is something, but it's something to those people, though. But to the person who is doing the distribution, it's not that significant. So he can, everybody who gives something can get 100-fold, 1,000-fold. They can even get 10,000-fold of what they're getting. And there'll still be plenty left over. And you know what the leftover is? Say, we can't eat with all our 5 fingers. So let's store that one for the spirit without measure. So we begin to, as we pray, it begins to store. Month by month, week by week, day by day, over the year. So that by the time the next intersection comes of the Kairos and the Kronos, enough would have been stored so that we can have a suddenly of tabernacles the same way we had a suddenly of Pentecost. Stand to your feet. This kind of message, you have to think. It's not rice and dodo. You have to. So my advice to you is go and get the, I would have said tape. That's what we used to say back in those days. But they'll download the message after the service and then open your Bible, you know, and then look at everything I've said. Go and check it out. You find. One last thing. I didn't say this. I've just been reminded by the Holy Spirit. I have to say it. I mentioned the last time I preached about prayer, but I want to just say it. Notice that the gathering is in my name. Everybody say, in my name, oh! That doesn't just mean all of them have Jesus and all of them say in Jesus' name. That's part of it. That's the legal basis. But he's talking about character. For these prayers to have the effect that God wants them to have, they must be prayed on the foundation of the fear of God and the love of God. For if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. 1 Corinthians 13:1. And it's one of the things I have been instructed. He said, what Israel ought to do. Make sure that all your praying in the spirit is on the foundation of the fear of God. For Jesus was heard in that he... I didn't hear you. And if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, I don't have love. So, for this thing to work, I said, God, what is happening? I went to seek God. And he said, go and tell them that they should sow and reap prayers just like they do their finances. And that if you sow in love and you pray in the spirit, you pray for yourself. Everybody's need will be met. Notice, pray for all saints at different levels. You take care of this, take care of that, take care of that. It doesn't take God much to be able to do the things that you need in your life. What is most important to God now is the manifestation of the sons of God. The spirit without measure. That's his great priority now. He out of that 10 billion, I just use that as a hypothetical figure. He can take thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even more, a few millions here and there to give to people. You know, if you give 500 people 1 million, it's only 500 million, which is only half a billion. It doesn't touch the main thing that God wants to do. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Start sowing prayers. Do it properly. Do it in love. Doesn't matter what your capacity is. You just keep contributing. Your capacity will increase. And God knows how to put all of them together in the spirit to get what he wants. He wants a spirit without measure. And he also wants to take care of all saints. And he's going to look after all of us at one level or the other. You know, when we do a 3-day fast, People used to wonder, why do you always put the personal prayer request at the end? First day we pray for Israel, second day we pray for Nigeria, then we pray for America, then you give me only one face. You know what I'm doing? I'm blessing you because you have been sowing. So when you now come to pray your own prayer request, all that you have sown can be multiplied back onto you and your need will be met. It's the wisdom of God. I'm pressing on
the upward way.
New heights.
New heights have gained every day.
Still pressing.
Still pressing.
Like onward bound.
I onward bound.
Lord, plant my feet.
Lord, plant my feet.
Lord, plant my feet.
Plant my feet.
On high.
My heart has no
desire to stay
where doubts arise,
and fears dismay.
Though
some may stay or dwell,
what's it like?
us all.
Stable,
a higher plane. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me, showing me that I can and I should sow my prayers the same way I sow my money, so I can live under a open heaven to reap answered prayer, amplified power of united prayer in the spirit in my life and in the things that you have connected me to, that I will be a contributing saint. I will play my part. I will do my share of contributing to your power that is going to be generated and released in this end time of the spirit without measure. Oh God, thank you for opening my eyes. Oh Lord, like Anna of old, I come to dedicate, consecrate my life, my time, my strength to prayer. I will not leave the temple, your house, but I will serve you like Anna with fasting and prayers day and night, and I will not stop. I would not give up until I see your glory in manifestation in this third day, in this Kairos moment of your glory, in Jesus' name. Mercy, Father, Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, Lambri, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. In Jesus' name. We also want to pray if you need healing and strength for your body. This ministry requires good health. You need to be strong to get up early in the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, pray an hour, go to work, come back. You know, it takes good health. If you're here or you're watching at home and you need healing for your body, just stretch forth your hands. Just stretch forth. Father, I pray for everyone on the sound of my voice that is in need of healing and strength for their physical bodies. I come against the spirit of infirmity. I cast you out. I destroy your works. I resist and I bind you. I release healing power. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Your word is spirit and it is life. And life is medicine to all of our flesh. I release the medicine of the life of God into every physical body here represented. Those who are watching from home, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Mommy, come. Let's close the service with the benediction. God bless you and keep you. I said the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Amen. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. Amen. The Lord God gives you peace. Amen. God makes you head and not tail. Amen.
above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies. Ha! Even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn and say, you sow prayers bountifully and you reap bountifully, living under an open heaven, so no bones are broken. In Jesus' name, amen.